From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Before their deadlines passed, applications surged for two of Juneau's pandemic relief programs designed to put thousands of dollars into locals' hands. The demand outpaced what city officials budgeted for the programs, so the Juneau Assembly scheduled a special meeting yesterday to consider some of the changes. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
The money involved in these programs all comes from the city's portion of the Federal CARES Act. The federal money originally had to be spent by the end of the year. But late Monday night, Congress passed a bill that would, among many, many other things, extend the deadline a year. And what President Donald Trump does with that bill, or doesn't, really clouds what the Juneau Assembly needs to get done or not by the end of the year. Shortly before the Assembly met on Tuesday, President Donald Trump told the world what he thought about the bill.
It really is a disgrace. For example, among the more than 5,000 pages in this bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity, it's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID.
Trump didn't say he would veto it, though Congress passed it with enough votes to override one if he did.
I will tell you, predicting nine of you may be easier than predicting the president.
That's City Attorney Rob Palmer addressing the Assembly.
The issue is whether or not the president signs that federal legislation quickly or not. If the president signs it, then yes, you have all the time in the world. If the president doesn't, then we may be looking at special meetings next week.
The Assembly didn't make a decision on four emergency measures intended to sweep up over $1 million in unspent CARES Act money from programs the Assembly over-budgeted for. Money that was for things like testing wastewater for COVID-19, subsidies for the school district's childcare program known as Rally, and the first phase of a local business grant program. They also put off decisions to put that money into two assistance programs, one for housing and utility grants and one for individual assistance. Quick disclosure, I've received one of these grants and have applied for the other. Now the Assembly plans to take all this up in committee on January 6th, but they did take two actions on these programs. At the beginning of October, the Juneau Assembly committed $3 million to a housing and utility assistance program for locals financially impacted by the pandemic. By mid-November, the number of applications dropped off, so the Assembly bumped up the maximum award from $2,000 to $3,000. Then a second wave of advertising went out. Aaron Walker Tolis, who is helping administer the program, says they got flooded.
It was as if the program had started over from scratch. We got a huge influx of hundreds of applications. Ultimately, it doubled the number of applications we had.
They've got almost 3,000 applications, but only enough money to pay for about 1,000. City staff proposed cutting the maximum award back down to $2,000, so smaller payments could reach more people. The Assembly narrowly shot that down on Tuesday. The Assembly's second action was on the individual assistance grants. This program also has hundreds more applicants than there's money to pay for. Last week, the Assembly narrowly voted to make housing grant recipients ineligible for the individual assistance. The rationale was to reach more people overall, albeit with smaller payments. On Tuesday, the Assembly reversed itself. Assembly member Wade Bryson was one of the members to change his vote. Originally, he didn't think people should get both.
Over the last week, I have seen more stress and heartache in the most vulnerable population. When I think of the people that are just, they're lucky to pay rent, and now they got to figure out how to feed. Heaven forbid they have to provide a Christmas for any children. My position has changed, and I want to be able to help those Juneauites immediately.
Walker Tolis says her nonprofit is still aiming to finish processing the individual assistance applications by the end of the year. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The COVID-19 pandemic is impacting learning and development, and it has been a tough year for students everywhere. But one program at Juneau's Yakusuke Dakahiri High School is actually seeing students flourish with distance learning. Kate, I spoke to a student and two advisors for this story. Recently, students at Yakusuke Dakahiri High School showed off handmade gingerbread houses for an end-of-the-year talent show. But because classes are virtual, instead of standing in front of other students, they're called into a digital spotlight.
All right, Billy, your spotlight.
That's mathematical.
Well, I went for like the House of Cards theme, so that's kind of how I feel like we're living right now. House of Cards theme. Boom.
Each student describes their technique as they put their own twist on the holiday treat. The virtual talent show is part of an advisory class program at the school. While all high schools in the Juneau School District have advisory classes two times a week, the program at Yokosuke Dakahiti has five.
These classes are more focused at creating a connection and bond with students between staff at the school and the students, and also allow students to connect with one another on a more deeper level. And so they're more focused towards the students' emotional and social well-being.
Mary Wright is an advisor at the school. Wright says small student groups allow for that more meaningful connection that aids learning. Topics include mental health, self-care, and healthy boundaries. Back in the talent show, students express themselves through song, jokes, and visual art. It's vibrant and kind of noisy.
I'll let my guard down and then you pull the rug.
Kids being quirky in Zoom, though, not craziest thing in 2020. Look at our leaders. I don't know.
One student was speed eating burritos. Devin Tetreau is a social studies teacher and an advisor at the school. She says advisors see students through their learning journey at Yokosuke from start to finish.
What's special about advisory is that really the point is to do social emotional skills and community building with that group of students, and also to empower these students to form relationships with staff and with students and the rest of the school.
Each teacher has an advisory group of about 16 kids. Advisors work with students to create a graduation plan, keep track of grades, and communicate with parents. Upon graduation, advisors give a speech about each student. That extra attention is having a positive impact on students. And this year, with mandatory distance learning, some students who might have struggled in normal times are flourishing in advisory classes. Connor Carroll is one of those students.
I feel more connected to my teachers at Yakutsk, and at other schools, I really feel like I didn't have that connection, and that had a big effect on my grades and the work I did.
Carroll says the virtual classes have really helped him break out of his shell.
I have a harder time in public situations, especially with larger crowds. And that's another great thing about Yakutsk is it's not that big of a crowd, so it's more comfortable.
And while the upcoming school year is expected to be at least partially in person, Carroll says he looks forward to the next semester. Classes start in January. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, Eagle Crest Ski Area's season opening was delayed because of record-setting rain and warm weather. And when it finally happened last Saturday, turnout was light. That's according to General Manager Dave Scanlon. He says more skiers and snowboarders turned up Sunday and Monday, but considering that it was the very start of the season.
We were basically average attendance for the snow conditions and the time of year and the amount of trails we had opened and groomed, and I would say attendance was about average.
Scanlon says conditions are still rough in some areas with inadequate snow cover and exposed stumps and rocks. Black Bear Chairlift is not operating yet, and the upper part of the mountain is for experts only.
Every day, the conditions on the mountain seem to be improving as the time continues on.
Eagle Crest is also now operating with the new COVID mitigation measures in place. Scanlon says lift lines have been designed to keep everyone 6 feet apart in all directions. Riders are only allowed to pair up on chairlifts if they arrived with someone they know. Skiers and snowboarders are not allowed in the lodges. Exceptions include a first fitting appointment at the rental shop or accessing lockers and bathrooms in the Fish Creek Lodge. Also, everyone is required to wear a mask. Bartlett Regional Hospital's Board of Directors has a new president. During its last meeting of 2020, the board voted Kenny Solomon Gross to be its president. Members also voted to keep Rosemary Hegvig in the vice president's spot and Mark Johnson as board secretary. That's not the only leadership change on the horizon for the city's hospital. CEO Chuck Bill is retiring in early 2021. And just so you know, this is the last local newscast you'll hear on KTOO this week. We're taking a break for the holiday. For local news updates, check out our website at ktoo.org and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, don't forget to tune in to Alaska News Nightly at 6 p.m. tonight and Thursday for updated statewide news. You're listening to KTOO, and I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.